When Central Standard producer Matthew Long Middleton asked me to host a show on dating, my first question was, carbon? His reply, no, dating, not carbon dating, courtship. So here we are a few days before Valentine's Day talking about dating, courtship, romance, online dating sites, speed dating parties, and apps like Grindr and Tinder. Dating in 2014, a long ways from Victorian times when men and women were discouraged from speaking to one another in the early stages of courtship. Some distance from the time when men and women met in parlors, supervised, of course, and even longer distance from ancient times when, reputedly, men were believed to raid other villages looking for women. I'm Bill Anderson. This is Central Standard, and our guest this morning, Michelle McBain, a researcher and advisor on relationships and healthy sexuality. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'll say it. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you as well.
And happy Valentine's Day to Damon Smith, former dating advice columnist for Inc. magazine.
Happy Valentine's Day to you as well, Bill.
Currently a freelance writer,
yeah.
And it's nice to have you back in the studios.
Good to be here.
Andrea Salenzi, former producer of Central Standard, joins us by phone from her home, I believe, in Brooklyn. Good morning.
Hi, boss. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good. I'm actually joining you guys from the studios of WFMU in Jersey City.
Okay, where you host a program called YOY.
That's right. It's a show about dating and relationships.
Yeah, I think you describe it as where love and sex meet technology. Is that correct?
Yeah, but it's really kind of an excuse to talk about myself, so
oh.
There's a lot more going on.
Well, talk about yourself a little bit and tell us a little bit about the premise of the show and what kind of things you're discovering about yourself and about others.
Well, I'm interested in dating because I think it makes a great story. You know, you go out there, you meet someone, and in the process, there's a lot of self-discovery that happens. So my interest in dating isn't about, you know, great places to get dinner on Valentine's Day. It's about learning who you are.
And you know, let's spend a little time here talking about technology. It's no longer, and I think this is probably a detriment to dating, or so I would guess. It's no longer necessary to really have eye contact or to talk to someone in person. You can go online and have these fairly intimate conversations, but to me it seems like that's a roadblock to discovery and to really building a sound, firm foundation for a relationship. Push back on that, Andrea.
Yeah, I want to disagree with you there. That would be like saying LinkedIn isn't a tool for finding jobs, or, you know, it's too bad we submit resumes online. I just think that these are tools that are available to us to improve this process and meet people who you're going to have something really genuine in common. Once I'm on the date, I'm not sticking my face in the phone.
Okay.
I have a whole page of my iPhone devoted to apps. I probably am on 5 or 7 of them right now, which seems like it could be very overwhelming. But the reality is I'm just saying no all day long. No, uh-huh. No. When someone right shows up, it's nice to feel like I did my homework there.
Michelle, you were nodding your head in agreement.
Yeah, I think technology in dating today is a great tool to reach out and branch out and meet new people, whether it's in your city, surrounding cities. I actually met my current partner online on Match.com. And I think the best advice I can give for anybody who uses technology as a tool for meeting new people is to first off, and this can be with technology or dating in person, is that you really have to be honest with what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know yourself, know what your needs are, know what the deal breakers are, and take your time developing your profile and take your time reading through the profiles. It's really easy to determine what someone wants based on how much time they devote to putting on the information on their pages.
I would say, and this is from my perspective, I don't have any issues with online dating or finding people through online venues. I would say the get offline once you've started. Like once you found somebody you want to talk to, get away from the texting, get away from, you know, the GChat or whatever it is, whatever means it is that you use to communicate. Get in person with that individual and get to know them, their quirks, their habits, their whatever it is that they have going on with them. Get to know them in person versus constantly going back and forth on text message all the time or
uh-huh.
going back and forth on Twitter or whatever. Get to know the person in person.
Would you agree with that, Michelle?
I absolutely do agree that technology, although it's a venue to meet new people, it can also be much of a crutch to not engage in those interpersonal conversations, the really getting to know you. With online dating, you can list off some of the things that are contributors to long-term compatibility, you know, how you spend your money, what religion do you follow, and all of these things that really do contribute to the long-term compatibility, because beauty fades, dumb stays. You want to know what you're really getting into. Right. And so you can look at a profile, see what the person's all about, and engage them in person to see if there is an attraction, to see if there's chemistry. Yeah. And then you develop slowly through that.
Andrea, I think I heard you say that you more or less put the technology aside once you're on the date.
Yes and no. I think there's something to be said about a really thoughtful email. You know, historically we wrote letters and courtship processes. I think that there's ways that you can use technology to stay in touch throughout the week. You know, we're all incredibly busy. I have a 2-hour-long commute every day. So I think that technology can also be a tool to feel connected to someone while before you're at the stage where you can see them on a regular basis.
One thing I do tell my listeners and my readers is that if someone is into you, they will move heaven and earth to be with you. So it doesn't matter if you're busy. You always find time to connect, whether it is sending that thoughtful email or texting or picking up the phone. There's a difference between, you know, a person that you're interested in picking up that phone rather than just shooting a quick text. Hey, what are you doing Friday night? Picking up that phone saying, hi, how are you? How was your week? I'd love to see you again. When are you free?
Okay.
You know, and that sort of thing. So taking that extra step, I think, really is the dividing line between someone who is truly interested in you and wants to pursue something long term than someone who is maybe has different ideas or isn't ready for that long term commitment.
Damon?
Yeah, I would say something along the same lines. If somebody is genuinely interested in you, they're going to answer the phone. They're going to respond right back. If they don't answer the phone, they're going to let you know what's going on with them. And you'll have a good idea. You'll notice very, really, really quickly whether or not the person is genuinely wants to be with you or wants to pursue something with you. So I kind of agree there.
I saw a lot of I got the impression that Kansas City is not considered a really good dating place. And in fact, Andrea, I want to direct this question to you. I saw a report that indicated out of 80 mid to large cities, Kansas City is ranked at the very bottom, 80th, just above or just below Wichita, Kansas. What is it? Andrea, you were single in Kansas City. Why is that? What's wrong with the Kansas City dating scene?
I mean, I don't even need that report to know that that's the case. That big part of why I left is I felt like if there was a young man about my age who had a job, who, you know, knew the difference between spelling no with a K and an N, I would have met him within that time that I was there. So I feel like that it was a constant issue that we were constantly addressing on Central Standard, which is the young people are leaving. And, you know, if there was that, and I think the young people who are coming with partners. So I just felt like the single guy wasn't there. The single guy had left. And I knew so many beautiful, young, accomplished women. The city is still full of them who are so dateable. And they just weren't meeting anyone. I would be on OkCupid and I would see just, you know, dud after dud. And then I'd sit at Broadway Cafe and I'd watch the same guys walk by. And it felt really dire to me.
Michelle, you're an expert on relationships. Pick up on Andrea's thoughts there.
Yeah, I actually wrote an article on my blog where I looked at some of these surveys that did rank Kansas City as low in satisfaction with dating. And I want to ease the mind of the Kansas City listeners that this is sort of a manifest destiny, I think, is that if you believe what you read, I'm a researcher and I'm a consumer of statistics, but I'm always skeptical about what surveys say or what research says. And so when I started digging into these surveys, I noticed that there were certain criteria that they were judging, right? So, you know, coolness, hookup culture, how many bars and restaurants were in the area and things like that. So, you know, I came to the conclusion, you can read more about this on my blog, but I came to the conclusion that instead of, you know, believing this and then it's creating your own destiny of, you know, dating so rough in Kansas City, why not take Kansas City out on a date? Start dating your city and see what it really has to offer. You need to change up where you go. If you keep on going to the same grocery store, the same cafe, the same lunch places, you know, Kansas City is spread out. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of pockets of neighborhoods where people just sort of sit and get comfortable with their routine. Change up your routine. Drive that extra 3 miles to go to another grocery store or go to a different coffee shop. And I think you need to start going out by yourself. Kansas City, all we do is go out with our friends. Research shows that it is very difficult for someone to approach a person in a group of people and try to make that initial introduction and do those, you know, lines and that sort of thing to try to meet someone.
But I remember the college days, and there was a lot of safety in going out as a group. It took a lot of the pressure off.
There's a big difference, and I was speaking with somebody about this last night. There's a big difference between the college scene uh-huh. and what goes on in the college scene versus being in the real world, per se, and going out after you get off work and trying to meet new people. Uh-huh. People tend to be a lot more willing and accepting of that college environment and running into people and just sitting at in a dining hall and, you know, meeting new people that way versus being out in the real world. People are kind of scared to walk up to people. But back to honestly the what Andrea was talking about and what Michelle said, there are 2 million people in this city. There's got to be somebody out there for you in this city. Like, dating can't be that horrible to where you're in a city full of 2 million people and you can't find one person that you think is acceptable enough for you to date. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to point out that Kansas City is a unique city in that we have, it's not necessarily it's a bad city to date, but there are just some barriers to dating in Kansas City. Like I said, we're spread out. We couple up early. We hang out with the same people. Yep. We have our pockets of neighborhoods. We go to the same places. So it really is sort of reevaluating how you approach dating in this city.
And I've tried, tried to tell people, and I think you mentioned this, going out by yourself is a great option. You go out and you sit at a bar by yourself, you would be shocked by how many people will come and sit next to you and just strike up a conversation, guy or girl, bartender, whoever. It doesn't matter. They will talk to you because you're there by yourself, and it's an easy way to meet people.
As a listener, what do you make of the Heartland KC dating scene? And I say that pun intended. We're also open to hearing stories of a date that should have never happened, something that went awry during the date. 235-2886. That's 816-235-2886. Or you can shoot us an email, centralstandard@kcur.org. Andrea, how would you compare the Kansas City dating scene to that of the New York City area and Brooklyn in particular, where you live?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say that, you know, no one loves Kansas City more than me. I loved my life there. I loved my apartment. I had some of the best friends of my entire life. I found my job incredibly rewarding. Our whole show was a celebration of Kansas City. That's like the thesis of Central Standard, as you listen and you discover how wonderful this place is. So I feel like I really tried. I tried to meet someone. I was meeting new guests every day. I was going out to events. I was, you know, involved in the arts. I did everything that I could do, I feel like. I was online dating, and I just feel like that person wasn't there for me. And I think it's okay not to – I can't blame myself there. I was completely open and ready to fall in love. And moving to Brooklyn has really been a way to discover just how many more people are here who are young and looking for what I'm looking for and engaged in their careers in the same way.
Well,
and so I'm having a much better time dating here. It's just night and day.
You answered my question, my follow-up question. That's good to hear. Yeah. Michelle.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, if you go to a city like New York and its boroughs, you're definitely going to be in an environment where you're going to be interacting with young professionals. People are drawn to New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Miami, Chicago, because of the opportunities for young people. And that's fine. But it doesn't mean that there isn't an opportunity in Kansas City. I give my listeners and my readers the advice that you really do have to be authentic about yourself, yeah. Who you are, and what are the real deal breakers. Yeah, maybe his grammar isn't that that great. You know, my sister-in-law, she married a guy who does not know the difference between they are and they're, the personal, right? You know, and he texts and writes her, and he just can't grasp, right?
Uh-huh.
But she loves him. And, you know, if you're nitpicky like that, I'm not saying that she was nitpicky in her dating life, but looking for those little kind of faults, it really narrows you down, just like looking at Kansas City with all of its faults, it narrows your mind to what the faults are instead of broadening out and looking for the whole and seeing if, okay, are we really compatible on the deepest levels, how we want to raise our children, where we want to live, are we close to our families, you know, things like that. So you have to think about what are the deeper things that really contribute to long-term compatibility.
There are a lot of people who will graduate from college, per se, and they will immediately say, well, I have to date somebody. I have to be with somebody who has a college degree. And
yeah.
They immediately price themselves out of, you know, a great segment of the population that, hey, maybe he works construction. Maybe he works at a call center, but maybe he's a good person. And they completely and totally cut those people off because they don't have what they have and they want that person to be there. And I mean, to some extent, you might want to, you know, people may want to reconsider that.
Maybe he likes bacon.
Hey.
Right? Do we divide dating? And Michelle, I'll throw this one at you. Do we divide dating along two lines, dating for fun and dating for marriage?
Well, I think dating for fun and marriage can be fun.
Uh-huh.
I think dating can be fun depending on how you approach it. Okay.
Dating for fun with no intention of
getting absolutely.
Married.
There are there are many, many people that go out on the dating scene that are not looking for marriage.
Yes.
And that is something that you have to discuss early on when you meet someone. Is that what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of, you know, I'll watch shows like The Millionaire Matchmaker or, you know, listen to dating advice from other people that say, you know, don't talk about, you know, politics or religion on the first date. And, you know, within a year, you have to be engaged, and all of these sort of, you know, they're not fine-tuned to the individual. So you really have to, like I said, go back, take a step back, think about what you want, what you're looking for. Because if you're looking for marriage and you invest time in a relationship with someone that is not interested in that, I had a reader write in and tell me, well, I went on this first date, and I'm sure a lot of people will be nodding their head when they hear this story, but I went on this first date, I had a great time, we had a lot in common, I was thinking about second dates, and I didn't hear back from him. And he told me in a text message that it sounded like I wanted a long-term something leading to marriage mm-hmm. in my dating life. And yeah, when I first met him, I said, sure, I want this to be casual. So she's sending mixed signals, right? So being honest and authentic with what you want and putting yourself out there. And I want to make one more comment before we move on is that, you know, when we go out and if we're going to try to attempt to go out by ourselves, I think we need to make sure that we're confident in who we are. So investing, not only investing in learning about the city, but investing in yourself, self-improvement. There was a study that came out in Men's Health that rated Kansas City as one of the worst cities for men in general, not just dating, but for men. And they based their criteria on diabetes, heart disease, exercise, employment, and all of those things. And Kansas City rated super low.
It's all that barbecue.
All of the bacon, right? Too many nights drinking beer, watching the Chiefs. But we really do have to think, okay, how are we going to put our best face forward?
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that you can really confidently go out by yourself and shine and expose who you are as an individual if you don't have that really self-worth, right, and that confidence to do that.
That's Michelle McBain. She's a sex and relationships professional. Damon Smith is in the studio. He's a former dating advice columnist for Inc. magazine and a freelance writer. Joining us by phone is Andrea Salenzi, former producer of Central Standard and host of YOY at WFMU in New Jersey. Andrea, when you go out with a guy now, does he have a pretty good understanding of what your goals in life are, what your career aspirations are, what your interests and hobbies are, and what your intentions in terms of relationships are?
Well, something I've started doing after my experiences in Kansas City is insisting on calling it a date. You know, I think that that's like the most basic thing that I'm allowed to ask for here is like, tonight's about having fun, getting to know each other. You don't have to be my boyfriend next week. You don't have to buy me a teddy bear on Valentine's Day. But let's acknowledge that this is like the most basic stage towards growing to possibly getting there.
Okay.
Getting to the teddy bear. So a new thing I've started doing is making sure we can acknowledge that this is a date. I'm still going to split the tab with you, but this is a date.
Okay.
I have a lot of experiences in Kansas City where I would went to a Royals game with a guy. We spent all day walking around the stadium talking. And then I invited him back to my place. We had a drink on my beautiful porch, and I leaned in to kiss him. He said, "Oh no, this isn't a date."
Oh my.
Yeah.
No Vermont candy bear for you.
That's unfortunate. It's weird. I think I read something not a month ago that said that 2/3 of people literally do not know whether or not they're on a date or not. So what Andrea's saying, and I had a few friends kind of confirm it too, but she's saying it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, I wrote a column about the 5 things to avoid on a first date. One of them being dinner, movie, friends, alcohol, and sex. Right? Those are things you should not do on a first date. And I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to sort of, you know, romance, and and we have different expectations, and like she said, we're not really discussing that this is just to kind of get to know you, like an interview. You know, what are you all about? Do we find each other attractive? Is there chemistry? And you know, the woman on Millionaire Matchmaker, she held a panel yesterday, and I was following her on Twitter, and she said that coffee was a cheap and a date you should avoid for the first date. And I absolutely disagree.
Yeah.
I don't think dates should be all day long. I don't think you should plan elaborate things. I think it should be, hey, let's go get a coffee. I want to get to know you.
It certainly takes a lot of the pressure off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if it goes awry, then, well, I've only spent an hour with this
person. And you do have to acknowledge that, you know, I'm so sorry, but no matter how beautiful you are, how much education you have, or how, you know, incredible you think you are, there are going to be people out there that are just not attracted to you.
Yeah.
Okay. What are those five elements that you mentioned?
The 5 things you should avoid on a date.
Yeah.
Dinner.
Uh-huh.
Movie.
Uh-huh.
Friends. Alcohol. And sex.
Okay. 2 out of 5 is not so bad. Let's go to the phone lines, and David is joining us. David's calling from North Kansas City. Hi, David.
Good morning. My comment is Kansas City is a large, small-town conglomerate. There's a lot of little areas. I have 2 20-year-old daughters, and the gene pool is just you have to get outside your own little pool. You have to, you know, be transient and move within the city or move within the county. It's not an easy thing to do, but you can't stay at home and find who you're looking for, because you already know all those people that you went to elementary, junior high, high school, and a lot of times college, because a lot of the people that, you know, were in high school, you went to college with.
I would agree with you. I would say that, honestly, if you go to the same 4 or 5 bars in town, which a lot of us do, you're going to see the same people. If you don't leave Overland Park, if you don't leave Olathe, if you don't leave Leawood, you're going to see the same people, because those are the people who are there. So you need to venture out and find new areas, find new things to do, and you'll come across new people, and you won't see the same people over and over again. You won't come across the same retreads.
Let's go back to the phones, and Amanda is joining us. And to some extent, Amanda, you're going to argue that it's about dumb luck.
I think it is, to a certain extent. I mean, I dated in Kansas City for 2 years to no avail, like trying to go different places, going to Brookside, going to Westport, going down to Power and Light, just kind of opening my eyes to the options out there. And then I finally got on Match, and actually now I'm with the same man that I've been with for now 2 years. Next week will be 2 years.
Congratulations. Right. Happy awesome. Valentine's Day.
Thank you. And so it's kind of exciting, and I feel for my friend because I'm 31, so I know what it's like to be late 20s and single and frustrated. And I think that sometimes it really is just luck. It's clicking on the right profile at the right time, like taking the chance to send an email to a guy that maybe doesn't sound right, but who knows, maybe he could be. And I think opening those options too, like as I was online dating and frustrated, I would slowly be like, okay, well, maybe I'll consider someone who's been married before. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll consider someone who's, outside of the age range that I thought. Mm-hmm. And I did those things, and I still ended up finding somebody that was actually all the things I wanted in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is absolutely a little bit of luck, because there's just no kind of prescription that you can have to find the one.
Yeah, and I think, when you say, I've done everything I could. I've gone out to the bars. I've gone to Westport. I've changed it up. But what are you really doing? And I'm not necessarily speaking to this individual because she did find a mate, and I'm really happy for her. But those people who says, I've done everything I can. I've been online. I've done all of this. Well, why not then take a step back and refocus your energies on yourself? Like mm-hmm. I said, start dating your city. We have so many things going on that people don't necessarily consider. I mean, we have, here we are in UMKC. There are adult continuing education courses that you can take. You love to dance? Take a dance class by yourself. You love art? Join the YFA and mingle with young professionals in the YFA by yourself. You love sports? Join a co-ed sports team, softball team in the summertime by yourself and expose yourself. Not only are you improving yourself, learning new skills, getting fit, enjoying the things that you love music, go to the symphony by yourself, take that little smart cocktail at a new bar by yourself. So do those things that really improve you, and in the long term, you're going to be so much more attractive to someone.
You're going to expose yourself to a lot of new people.
Exactly.
If you do those things.
Exactly. It's not just about going to a bar or to a restaurant. I think those are so cliched, and they're so outdated. So,
Andrea, what do you make of all this?
I think you could end up signing up for a dance class and wasting a lot of time learning a dance you're not interested in and not meeting someone. I hate that kind of advice where you're like, you just aren't trying hard enough. I feel like you can try as hard as you want, and if you're in the wrong place for you, it's time to go.
Well, just to clarify, it's not necessarily going out and branching out and saying, well, I'm going to take a dance class to try to meet someone. What I'm talking about is if you do enjoy dancing, why not
just go
dance,
yeah.
Right? If you enjoy art, focus your energies on enjoying the things in your interests and your activities that provide some sort of fulfillment for you.
Become more whole.
Exactly.
Whether you find love or whether you're by yourself, you're still going to have to live your life for yourself.
Right.
Whether you have children, whether you get divorced, you're still going to have to be you and do things that you enjoy to keep you happy and content and sated.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to catch our breath. And upon our return, the unique challenges to dating in Kansas City. And we want to hear about your experiences. And especially if you have a story about a date from hell, I would like to hear about that. 816-235-2888, 235-2888. It's Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. And it's nice to have you back. This is Central Standard on 89.3 FM. I'm Bill Anderson. Today, with Valentine's Day just a few days off, we thought we'd assess and talk about the Kansas City dating scene. Feel free to email the show if you have questions or comments, centralstandard@kcur.org. That's our email address. You can phone the show, 235-2888. And Jose is joining us. He's calling from Kansas City North. You're on the air, Jose.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, sir.
I have a unique dating challenge question. I am totally blind, so I miss a lot of the visual cues. I've done some of the local meetups groups and you go to a bar or whatever, and then I'm like totally like a fish out of water because there's so much audio traffic and visual stuff going back and forth that it's way over my head. I just put a profile up on plentyoffish.com, and I don't know if I can mention Out of Sight is my username, but
for ladies,
good.
I'll play the blind card when necessary, but that doesn't mean that a woman has to cut my meat either. I mean, I'm pretty independent, but I'm looking for some tips. I mean, I am getting some issues where a woman is like super ultra nice to me, and then it comes out, then she'll mention, well, my husband, and I'm going, am I supposed to shake with my left hand now so I can feel the ring or what?
Are they on Plenty of Fish with husbands?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm just teasing. I'm sure they are.
Well, Michelle McBain, let's get him some advice. Let's start with you.
Well, I think one thing that we do have to acknowledge is that when we talk about dating a lot, and I think on this show we've done it, we've talked in heteronormative terms. We've talked in sort of stereotypical young, never been married, 20s and 30s. We don't necessarily acknowledge the fact that people who are over 40, that are divorced, that are widowed, that are LGBTQ, that mm-hmm. may have disabilities, also want to find love. Mm-hmm. And so it's a unique, just like dating is difficult for anybody, I think especially our caller, poses a unique sort of issue to dating. And what I would say is, you're doing things to put yourself out there. And I want you to be honest with yourself. But there are cues that you can get from people if you're out maybe on a date with someone that you meet on Plenty of Fish, is there are a lot of nonverbal cues like touching, right? Direction of the body. Do you feel as though your date is moving towards you? Are they getting closer? Are they laughing at your jokes? Is their voice going up in pitch and that sort of thing? So those are a lot of cues. And I would encourage you to do a little bit of research about body language and nonverbal cues. But I think what you're doing is all you can do is be honest with yourself and what you're looking for. Don't let your disability identify you in your dating life. What else is there about you that you're offering to the Kansas City dating community?
Is that helpful?
That's very helpful. I'm funny. I'm witty. Trust me, I can get them laughing. Prior to marrying my ex when we were first dating, I made her laugh so hard she had to use her inhaler. So, I mean, I'm pretty good. I got the comedy stuff down. I realize that comedy usually equals a second date. But I was just needing a pep talk. Appreciate it.
Did you say
non-body language?
Yeah, non-verbal communication, body language. But did you say that you are doing comedy clubs now?
No, I'm going to argue that he probably should
be. I was
going to
say, why not do an open mic night? Discuss your dating stories and the funny things that happened to you. I think your whole sort of perspective on dating, being blind and saying, okay, well, yeah, I mean, I was getting along with this woman. She was great. And I reached out to shake her hand. I noticed her. I know, whatever. My husband. And that's the thing. Like, get out there. And, you can make friends that way and meet new people, put yourself online as far as like a Facebook page, and say, hey, I'm doing comedy, and start sort of like using social networking and getting out there, standing up as a comedian in front of people. Maybe that would be a really unique way to put yourself out there.
Yeah. That's Michelle McBain. She's a researcher and advisor on relationships and healthy sexuality. Damon Smith is here, a former dating advice columnist for Inc. magazine. At one time, a pretty regular contributor to Central Standard, now doing a lot of freelance work. Andrea Salenzi, former producer of Central Standard, now host of YOY at WFMU in New Jersey, is also joining us, and she joins us by Skype. Hey, Andrea, I have to ask you, I know you pretty well, and I know you have a really good, solid sense of humor and a really dynamic personality. I have to believe that you're looking for that in a date, right?
Absolutely. I love that. I love that suggestion about sending someone to go work on their comedy career. Yeah. It's hard to say. I just feel like you don't really know what you're ready to compromise on until you start dating. I'm currently dating someone. I'm dating a bunch of different people, but one of the people I'm dating is kind of awkward and shy. And it's been an interesting process for me to learn about if that's something I can compromise on or not. So I feel like dating is about learning those deal breakers. Of course, there's some deal breakers that are bigger than others. But
The non-negotiables.
Such as?
College degree. That's one I think is way up there for me.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's definitely, I mean, everybody has their own set of non-negotiables. Yeah. When I first got online, you can click off, what qualities a person has. And, whether it's how much money they make, I don't care. Right. But I did at first care if they had children or if they had ever been married before. Right. But as I got into my 30s and I started realizing that the pool of men, especially in Kansas City, a lot of divorced guys, they got married when they were in their early 20s, realized that, oh, this isn't a compatible partner for me. Maybe they have. I'm still kind of I'm with someone right now, so I'm off the market. But if I ever was to go back on, having an Insta family just really doesn't sit well with me. But there are a lot of women out there that want a family and they don't care if you already have a kid. They love that. They want you to be a family man. And I realized that men who are divorced, they've committed before. They're ready,
They'll do it in a hot second.
They've done it. They've made that commitment.
They want somebody who will hopefully share the meal-making responsibilities.
Go ahead, Andrea.
Oh, sure. Dating has become part of the life course now. The average person can expect to do it. Maybe you're going to luck out, but you can really expect to do this for at least a decade. And I just don't think that there's a more important decision in our lives. And it's one that a lot of us don't put a lot of time into. We think we're told it's just going to happen to us, that we'll happen upon it. We'll luck out. But I think that it's really something we should spend time working on. And, in terms of your happiness long-term, in terms of your financial success, your ability to have a family. I just can't think of a more important decision in my life. So I think it's okay that I'm not willing to compromise on some things.
It's Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. I'm Bill Anderson. I'm hosting, and we're talking about the dating scene in Kansas City and kind of dating in general. Barb called in to say her son moved to Los Angeles, ended up meeting a young woman in L.A. who is from Kansas City.
Oh, we grow them good here, don't we?
And Andrea writes in an email, a different Andrea, what advice can you give for meeting singles if you're over 40? I'm 48, and it seems like most bars, most clubs, and events in Kansas City are for the under 40 crowd.
Oh, absolutely. Again, yeah. As I mentioned before, you know, when we focus on dating, we forget about the people over 40, yeah, the people who are divorced, widowed, have children, and they have other things going on in their lives. So it is difficult. My mother is a successful businesswoman. She's the CEO of an organization. She's beautiful, fit, wonderful woman. She's in her 60s. Sorry, Mom. But she's single, and she's been single for a while, and it is very difficult to meet someone. And the one thing that I always keep on reminding her is you're a busy woman, but you have interests. Mm-hmm. So go back and tap into those interests, right? So she loves the arts. Mom, get on the board of directors at, you know, the Art Institute or the Nelson Atkins or something like that. So I think, again, when you've reached your limit or your frustration or you don't know what else to do as a single, tap back into what you are and re-identify for yourself what you want out of life. Go back and tap into those interests and those activities and socialize by yourself among groups of people that have similar interests.
And you're going to end up finding people. Mm-hmm. You'll expand your circle and find people that you may be interested in. And obviously they would have some similar interest to you.
Mm-hmm. Writer Sarah Eckel says this, the single life isn't a prison sentence, nor is it a cocktail party. It's simply a life with responsibilities and rewards, good days and bad ones, successes and failures.
Sounds like a relationship too.
You do have to fall in love with yourself before you can fall in love with anybody. I really hate the line that has become so famous in our dating world. At least it is for the kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s with Jerry Maguire. And there they are, you know, in the elevator. What did he say? It said, "You complete me," right?
Right.
Well, I think we need to approach dating a different way. We're not looking for someone to complete us. We have to be complete ourselves. Two halves don't make a whole. Two wholes contributing to a partnership and in a relationship are going to contribute to lifelong happiness, lifelong compatibility, and you grow with that partner. So, you know, it isn't a death sentence. Being single is not. You can surround yourself with a lot of love, and I think that we need to point that out, that it's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day just isn't for people in relationships. Valentine's Day is for the love that you share in your family, the love that you share for your children, the love that you share for your friends, the love that you share for your pet. I have a little dog. Oh, my God, does she brighten my day. I love her, and she's my Valentine.
I can't wait for Valentine's Day to come and go every year. No matter what I do, I'm a failure.
Oh, you're setting yourself up for failure. See that manifest destiny. Kansas City stinks.
I suppose. You know, where do I start? I'm watching the Olympics or a movie yesterday, and I'm getting inundated with these commercials about how inadequate I am because I'm not buying these really expensive flowers, these giant teddy bears, you know, and the chocolate candies. I'm not. You know, doing...
Well, why not? Then you're failing. You are failing as a partner and a lover.
I turn on my Oasis NPR this morning, and I'm hearing some underwriting credits for the Vermont Candy Bear. You know, I had to Google that, and I see you can get T-shirts that say "I love Michelle." You know,
thank you. Oh my gosh, you're so sweet.
Well, so nice.
Well, it was either that or the big hunk of love bear. So,
well, you know, I think definitely there's a lot of pressure on people to buy something, and I guess we'll discuss this. Yeah. Are we going to a break or
No, we're good.
We're discuss.
I just do those motions.
Okay, you know, the thing is that you. So here I'll share with you something that my boyfriend is doing for me. Every day he picks a video on YouTube that's a song that makes him
I'm
think of me.
I'm already hating this guy.
Right? And he sends me one.
He's so thoughtful.
Every day. And so the first song he sent was kind of like our song. And then another song is a country song. And I do not listen to country. He loves it. But I had to listen to it and listen to the words and the sentiment. So it's doing those things. You know, he's a painter. He doesn't buy me flowers. He paints me flowers. You know, he writes me love notes and those sorts of things. So you have to be thoughtful in your gifts. It has to mean something. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be stereotypical. It doesn't have to be cliched. It really does have to be special and personal. So what's personal? What do you love about your wife?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm asking you.
No, virtually everything. I know,
but what's something that's special that she brings to your life? You know, you can put that in a card. You can put that in a note. You know, we've forgotten the impact that love notes can have these days. When was the last time you sat down and wrote just a little love note to your wife?
Well, since this is radio and I can say,
hopefully she's not listening.
Just last night. Just last night I did this.
Hopefully she's not listening.
Maybe giving her a break. Do you have children?
Yes.
You do have to. Well, maybe giving her a break one night. I'll have to plug someone. Oleander Aesthetics is a facial spa that a friend of mine runs. And why not treat her to a facial? Mm-hmm. You know, one afternoon, just give her the day off and just make her feel special if that's something that she needs.
Mm, that's a good idea, Damon.
I would avoid getting things that are cliche: the flowers, the candy, the chocolate, and so forth. Go out and do something that if she's been yapping about wanting a new blender for, you know, two months.
Oh my God, that is so unromantic.
But no, I'm just saying if she's, but she hasn't done it. I'm saying she hasn't gone out
blender.
And bought it.
Oh.
Go out and get the blender, and it may be something that, you know, might bring a small twinge of joy to her because you were listening to her in a moment where she was griping and you went out and got that.
Well, that is something that is true, listening to your partner. It's just that
moment of being thoughtful, and not necessarily a blender per se, but just something to where you're being thoughtful and they understand that you are paying attention to them. But if you're getting flowers, I hope that you got them already, because you come to Thursday and Friday, there will be lines and lines and lines of guys standing outside of floral shops waiting to
buy
flowers.
You know, if you want to do something special for someone, you really do pay attention to what their interests are, what they need. You know, if you are with a person whose major responsibilities are household duties, cooking, cleaning, that sort of thing, pick up the slack. Say, you have the day off. I'm going to do all of it for you. Take a cooking class. Learn how to cook one meal perfectly and cook it for your wife.
Wow.
Something like that. You know, invest.
I was doing some research on traditions in other countries, in Denmark and Norway. I don't know if they still do this, but men would send women funny poems or love notes that rhyme anonymously. And then if a woman were to guess her love interest, she would win an Easter egg. So I guess a woman has a lot to look forward to in Scandinavia.
And then she has to cook it
Sounds
for
like
him. And
such a great prize.
Let's go back to the phone lines. And Blaine is calling from Kansas City. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say something about the online dating comments earlier on in the conversation. My partner and I met online, and being a same-sex partner, we were really kind of apprehensive about telling people how we met early on, because so many of the gay male dating sites tend to have kind of a bad rap and be very sex-oriented. But the more we thought about it, it's like we do everything online. We bank online. We go to school online. We shop online. So with two people who have really busy schedules, it sort of made sense that's how we met, and it helped us wrap our heads around it, and helped us, you know, kind of explain it to people when they asked how we met.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where you have to be unabashed about your story. It's your story. You met that way, accept it for what it is. And if it's something that you can spin into a joke or a funny tale, do that. But let that be your story. If that's how you met, it's what it is. It's not something that you should be embarrassed about. Just accept it for what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, 10 years ago when online dating, you know, first sort of came on the scene, the internet was still fairly new. I mean, people born after 1998 really don't understand that. But, you know, the internet was still kind of mysterious. You know, what's on there? What information can you get? And I think it's still, you know, having that access to people online is still a little scary. But, you know, meeting online has become less and less taboo as we move forward with technology and using technology as a dating tool. And when I first got on Match.com, I went on Match.com 3 times before I met the person I'm supposed to be with. And my first boyfriend on Match.com, we made up a story about how we met. And what really, I started reflecting, why am I lying about this? Because I think sometimes it's more dangerous to go out and meet someone at a bar and take them home sometimes. Like, you don't know who these people are. Mm-hmm. At least with online dating, you can sort of window shop and see who these people are. You can do some background research, which I don't think surveys show that men do not like it when women research them online. I think it is something that is necessary.
Yeah.
Google is such a good tool. You don't want to be going out with a psychopath.
Hey, Blaine, thanks for the phone call this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
And good luck to you, sir. In the studio, Michelle McBain, researcher and advisor on relationships and healthy sexuality. Damon Smith, former dating advice columnist for Inc. magazine, a freelance writer in Kansas City. And former producer of Central Standard, Andrea Salenzi, is with us. She's the host of YOY at WFMU in New Jersey. So, Andrea, I want you to listen closely. We're going to talk to Eric, who's probably got some... I think he'll prompt you to have some comments. So let's go to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well. Go ahead, sir.
I just moved to Kansas City about a month and a half ago, and I'm finding this is like the easiest city I've ever been in to meet people ever. There's so much going on, and there's so many different scenes and cultural niches, and if you just step out your boundaries and explore things that you've never done before, even if you're out of place, it's like if you look out of place, people are like, why are you here? Why are you doing this? It makes you really approachable.
Uh-huh.
And even if you're just out exploring, it makes you interesting. You're like, why are you out doing this stuff? And you're just like, well, I just want to meet people and try different things. And I've never been to like a drum circle before. I've never been to a punk rock concert before. And if you just go out to places and explore, you're just like, you put yourself out there in a way that makes you really approachable. So, I found it really easy moving here. I mean, if you're into stand-up comedy, there's like 4 places, there's 4 shows a week you can go to, and different bars and different places. So there's so many options for people to meet people in this town.
Thanks, Eric.
I think Eric has a huge advantage as a guy here. I have a lot of female friends in Kansas City who are not having that experience. Socially, I think it's a wonderful place to live. I had some of the best friends of my life there, and I'm still in touch with a lot of them. But in terms of dating as a woman, I'm going to say that it is not the place for me.
Okay.
I think that it's what Eric got at is that you have to get out there and be sociable. I think one of the big things that I noticed, and I had somebody tell me this the other day, they think that people in Kansas City don't speak. I feel like people are very, very amenable to talking to anybody. Like the big thing that you have to do as a person is literally make eye contact with people. You make eye contact with people, they'll speak to you, and the conversation goes from there. And if you end up in a situation where you might end up dating that person, great. It can happen, but you have to be willing to get out there and make eye contact with people and speak to them for anything to possibly progress or happen.
Central Standard has an email from Michelle. What advice can you give to African-American women who live in Kansas City seeking men from their own group whose pool of eligible is even smaller than other women? Who wants to answer that?
Well, I think one thing that we have to do is take a step back and start looking at sort of gender dynamics when we're looking at dating, and the fact that there are certain expectations for men in dating and there are certain expectations for women in dating. I think we, in Kansas City, at least with my experience and what I understand, is that we have this tendency to date one person at a time. So we meet someone and then we automatically couple up with that person and continue to date them singly instead of saying, well, I'm dating multiple people at a time. I went out with a guy once and I told him we met online. Shocker that he, you know, found out that I was dating more than one person. So, you know, what are the expectations for men and women? Are men really supposed to be the ones pursuing the relationship, doing the asking out, or can women step up and take that role? Do men maybe just don't feel like it's worth it? I mean, women, you know, they're feminists, they can pay their own bills and do all these things, and we're intimidating now. I'm sorry, but women don't have to have a man in order to live a happy and fulfilled life.
Andrea, I want you to weigh in on this.
I want to encourage all single people to get on my new favorite dating app, which is Tinder. I think it's a great way to meet people. The thing that skeeves me out about dating apps is that they ask you to have lots of selfies.
Do you have lots of selfies?
No, I'm not a selfie taker, and I'm very honest about that. And they also ask you to write a bio. How do you spend your Friday nights? What are your favorite movies? Tinder, it's just 1 to 3 photos, 2 lines about you, and then it uses Facebook data to pull in who are your mutual friends, what are your shared interests. And for me, I think that's been working really well because it's a lower commitment ask, and you only are allowed to engage with people who also indicate that they'd be interested in you. So you're not getting the same waves of harassment that happen on other websites. On a website like OkCupid, you can just get a lot of unwelcome messages. So Tinder's been a way for me to shut down that door and get to know only people that I'm interested in.
I would say to the question that was asked, there are people out there, if you're a Black woman and you want to find somebody that's of the same race as you to date, get out there and be proactive. Get out there and ask guys out. Because there are gender norms that are kind of skewed that to where you feel like you're not supposed to ask people out. Get out there and ask people out. Look outside of you. If you're a college graduate, think about dating somebody who's not a college graduate. Open yourself up to a lot of different options. So there's a lot of stuff that's out there and that's available to you.
Right. Opening yourself up to look at dating differently. Like gender expectations and norms. Men and women are more alike than they are similar in what they want in relationships. I'd encourage listeners to go to my blog, michellemcbain.com. Ask questions, michelle@michellemcbain.com. We can talk more about this. But I really enjoyed being here today.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you, Michelle. And thank you, Damon, both of you for being here. Andrea Salenzi, nice to hear from you.
Oh, I missed you guys so much.
We miss you too, and good luck on the East Coast.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Tune in tomorrow as we explore threats to Missouri's dairy industry, and then Lawrence native Langston Hughes. Michelle McBain is a researcher and advisor on healthy sexuality and relationships. Damon Smith is a former dating columnist at Inc. magazine, and Andrea Salenzi is a former producer of Central Standard. Up to Date is next with a look at the historical inmates of Fort Leavenworth. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with Kate Baxendale. I'm Bill Anderson. This is KCUR.